Okay, Be'ezer Hashem, in this week's Parsha, we have a opening pasuk that all make a big deal about, but the Gemara makes a much bigger deal about a much more innocuous pasuk. The focus of all darshanim and in Chassidus is on Vayomer Hashem Avram Lech Lecha Me'artzcha Me'latzcha Me'beis Avicha L'Artz Asher Reka. Last night I did with the boys in the Siva Shalom the idea that to leave your habits of the past is very, very difficult. And it's out of order, the Siva Shalom points out. It should be have when a person leaves. When a Shana Alephoy leaves his house. So what does he leave first? He first leaves his house. Then he leaves his social environment. And then he leaves the country. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu the exact opposite. Leave your country. It's backwards. So the Nesiv HaShalom writes that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives in the opposite order is because Lech Lecha is not about physically leaving, but Lech Lecha is talking about spiritual transformation. Spend in Chassidus, there's a lot of time that's spent on this pasuk. However, in terms of the lumdus of Avram's leaving of Eretz Yisrael, and ultimately the musr that's relevant to us, there is another pasuk that the Gemara in Bava Basra picks up for anafkamina lahalacha. Kum hisalech ba'aretz la'arko l'rachba. Get up, Avram Avinu, and walk the breadth and the width of Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Gemara takes this expression in Bava Basra, Kufa Medalef, very seriously. The Gemara says, there is a machlokis amongst the Tanaim. It's just fascinating how the Gemara expands on this pasuk. There's a machlokis amongst the Tanaim if one could become a field through Halach. Halach means, we know the sugya of Halach from Modim and Mitzas, but there's another Halach. And Halach means to walk around the perimeter of the field. So are you kone a land by walking around the perimeter of the field? So Gemara quotes an opinion that says, yes, you're kone by walking around the field. What's in the car? Avraham Avinu. Kum hisalech ba'aretz la'arko l'rachba. So what do we see from that Gemara Bava Basra? What we see from the Gemara Bava Basra is that what Avraham Avinu was doing when he walked the perimeter of Eretz Yisrael, he was doing an act of kinyan on Eretz Yisrael. But wait a second. Avraham Avinu is doing a kinyan on Eretz Yisrael, according to this opinion in the Gemara. Could very well be that the opinion that rejects it still holds that there is an act of significance in Avraham Avinu's walking around Eretz Yisrael. But wait a second, we know from the Gemara in Shavuos in the second parak that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael comes from Kedusha Rishayna or Kedusha Shnia. Either the Kedusha of Yoshua or the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael comes from the Kedusha of Ezra. Those are the two possible sources of Kedusha Sa'aretz. That's a machlokis in the Gemara whether Kedusha Rishayna is Kedusha or Kedusha Shnia's Kitchel Shatel Kitchel Aslavo. The Rambam says a beautiful explanation, which is Nogea Arayom Azeh, when it comes to our development of Kedusha Sa'aretz. The Rambam says, why is it that we pass in like the Mandamar who says Kedusha Shnia Kitchel Shatel Kitchel Aslavo? The Rambam says, because the first Kedusha, Kedusha Yoshua, came about through Kibush. It was conquest, physical conquest. So if it's physical conquest, then ultimately, when Nebuchadnezzar sent us away, so it was undone. There was Kedusha, it's undone. But Kedusha Ezra was the hero of Shuva. Remember, I looked around the Nefesh B'Nefesh flight, and in my days, it was a ragtag team of people coming to Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't the smartest, the wealthiest, and the strongest who are coming from Chutzlaritz. Now, Baruch Hashem, that's changing. But that, I looked around and I said to myself, but that was Ezra's Bia as well. It wasn't even the biggest Talmid HaChamim who are coming back. It wasn't the wealthiest and it wasn't the strongest. It was a ragtag team that Ezra brought back to Eretz Yisrael. But that came along with the Hiru Tshuva. And that Hiru Tshuva of Ezra is described, so that's what stays. The Kedusha of Ezra stays, the Kedusha Shnia is Kitchel Shaita v'Kitchel Asad Lava. So that's where we know the concept of Kedusha from. The Hiru Tshuva of coming back to Eretz Yisrael is what stays in Eretz Yisrael. A Kibush of Eretz Yisrael doesn't necessarily stay. Fine. But what does that have to do with this process of walking around Eretz Yisrael, Avraham Avinu, what halachic significance did Avraham Avinu create when he walked around the width and breadth of Eretz Yisrael? At the end of the day, what did he do life? What did he create? There's no Kedusha that comes from Avraham Avinu's walking around Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha, set out the Yisod Gadol, which is in many ways the theme of tonight. And that is Rabbi Aaron Mipi HaShmua, I heard this, and I think it's been written up in one of the Beis Yitzchak. We spoke to Rabbi Aaron about this in Limud. So Rabbi Aaron said that there are two forms of the identity of Eretz Yisrael. One is the Shem Eretz Yisrael, and the other is Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Kedushas Eretz Yisrael comes about with the Kedusha Rishon and Kedusha Shnia, but Avraham Avinu and Parshas Lech Lecha is Koveya the Shem Eretz Yisrael. That already from the time of Avraham Avinu, Eretz Yisrael, as described in the Haftachos, was designated to Avraham and his descendants, and Avraham had to walk it to create that kinyan. That walk of the Arko, the Rachba, that walk created the Shem Eretz Yisrael. Now Rav Aaron didn't just say this as a way of creating terminology, but Rav Aaron was bothered by Akasha the Shagasari. The Shagasari asks a Gevaldik Akasha. The Gemara in Ksubis is Medayik in Parshas Shlach. Gemara in Ksubis is on Daf Chav. The Gemara says that in Parshas Shlach we have the Mitzvah of Chalom. The Mitzvah of Chalom described in Parshas Shlach is introduced as Bevoachem El Aretz. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, give over to Klal Yisrael, Bevoachem El Aretz, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, so then you're going to be Chayv in Mitzvah Chalom. Points out the Gemara in Ksubis, from the Lashon Bevoachem seems to indicate when you come, immediately. That the Mitzvah Chala hits the moment you come to Eretz Yisrael. That's interesting. Prior to the Zayin Shekavshu v'Zayin Shechalku, prior to the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, and prior to the division, he spoke about the first year, Shoftim v'Shoftim Tikkun L'cha b'chol sha'arecha, before the division of the gates of Eretz Yisrael, which mandate Torah, already there is a chiyuv of challah. Now that's striking because not only is there no chiyuv bezdin prior to that, but also all other mitzvos hatulios ba'aretz, trumas ha'maisros, shmita, all of those don't kick in for the first 14 years of Yoshua's introduction of Klal Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. So why is it that when it comes to challah, is challah different? So Rav Aaron gave us the lumdus, and maybe here our job as his talmidim are to take the Masorah a step further. Rav Aaron told us the yisayid is from this Gemara in Bava Basra. Once we see that Avraham Avinu created the Shein Eretz Yisrael, so then we see that already there is an identity of Eretz Yisrael. All other mitzvahs hatzulis ba'aretz are dependent on Kedushas Aretz. But challah? Challah was not dependent on Kedushas Aretz, but challah, the mechayev of challah, is the Shem Eretz Yisrael. Now, Ad Kan Dvorav HaKadoshim, I don't recall him explaining why it would be that challah, the mitzvah of Afrashas challah, which exists in Eretz Yisrael, and that challah is one of the greatest proofs to the beauty of living in Eretz Yisrael. You know, you have to be careful when you went into a store to eat bread Midas is the grandma's cookie jar, in some change. But you have to be careful that there was HaKroshes Chalal that was done over there. But why did you have to be careful? Just simply, Kedei Shel Tishkach Torah Chalal. In order that Chalal shouldn't be forgotten. That when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you shouldn't forget Torah Chalal. This is not the Ramban, the controversial Ramban, how you understand that the mitzvahs and chutzal arts are practiced. This is the Kulei Alma. The Kulei Alma, the entire mitzvah of Chal and Chutz La'aretz, is just that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, Shalot Tishkach Torah Chal. This is fascinating. On the one hand, it's not dependent on Kedushas Haaretz. On the other hand, the Shem Eretz Yisrael is critical that the whole mitzvah in Chutz La'aretz is just Kedei Shalot Tishkach Torah Chal. When my wife tried to bake Chal the first time when we were married, so she baked it, and it wasn't that great. So I put on a good face, and I really appreciated the work she put in. Eventually she stopped. I'm not sure if she noticed the contours around my smile, or she She just stopped. Then when we came to Eretz Yisrael, she started again. That was absolutely fantastic. I think it's b'zechus and mitzvah challah. Mitzvah l'afrashas challah is fundamentally different in Chutz La'aretz than it is in Eretz Yisrael. But why is it that challah is connected to the Shein Eretz Yisrael? And when it comes to Tumas and Maisers is connected to Kedushas Ha'aretz. What's the kesher between the two? So there's something very unique about the time of Chiyuv when it comes to Chala. When it comes to Chala, the Zman of Chiyuv is the Gilgul Ha'isa, at the time that the dough is kneaded. The wheat itself doesn't have a Chiyuv of Parashas Chala. It's when you put water and the wheat together and you make flour, so then in such a case, and you make a dough, so then in such a case you're going to be Chayiv in Parashas Chala. But prior to the dough, there is no chiyuv. In contrast to Trumas and Maestros, we'll get to Shemitah shortly. In contrast to Trumas and Maestros, so there the chiyuv is inherent, natural. It's not dependent on the action of man. Simply the fruit that grows in Eretz Yisrael requires to be treated with a certain level of kedusha. That we have to realize that this fruit is not a regular fruit. I say over to my children all the time, the legend, the European legend, that there was a fellow, a poor man, who had a tremendous tshuka to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he literally sold his entire house so that he could get a rotten apple to eat from Eretz Yisrael. An inherent kedusha. Kedusha is Paris, Eretz Yisrael. Kedusha is Paris, Eretz Yisrael. But challah is not a function of the kedusha sakri. Rather, challah is a function of the act of the human being. What does that mean? When a person makes his dough, makes his bread, he thinks he's earned his bread, so in such a case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, "Kol chiviyotzim yad yasadis ha-challah," that's not acceptable. You have to realize where your bread comes from. Trumas and maestros is a function of the Kedusha, the inherent Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding to two different components of our relationship with Him in Eretz Yisrael. In Challah, He's responding to the Shem Eretz Yisrael, the development, the nationalistic development of Eretz Yisrael. And when it comes to Trumas and Maestros, the mitzvah there responds to the inherent Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, man who makes his bread in Eretz Yisrael, of the Shem Eretz Yisrael, with the nationalistic individual who attempts to progress Eretz Yisrael, he has to realize, Kol chiviyotzim yad yasadis ha-chayil hazeh. And then, when it comes to the peros, which are the natural manifestation, so those reflect kedushas ha-aretz, and those also require hafrasha, but a fundamentally different type of hafrasha that responds to the Kedushas HaPri. There are many other nafkaminas between HaFrashas Chala and HaFrashas Trumas and Maestros, like HaLachos and HaMukaf and others, but that's going to be beyond our scope. Maybe towards the end of the year, when we get to Parsha Shlach and Korach, we'll develop this idea a little bit more. But clearly, this notion of Shem Eretz Yisrael versus Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is a notion that's important al pi halacha, to answer Shagasari's question. And it's also important in terms of the sensitivity to realize that there are different people who relate to Eretz Yisrael in different ways. That there are people who, not to chas v'chalila denigrate those people who appreciate the nationalistic component of Eretz Yisrael, to realize that they're lacking in Kedusha, but at the same time, that's the base. The base starts off with Avraham Avinu's Bechina of the Shein Eretz Yisrael. The higher madrig, of course, is to be able to actualize to Kedushas Ha'aretz. This idea that there's a fundamental difference in looking at the status of Eretz Yisrael in terms of the Shem Eretz Yisrael and the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is a Yisoid Gadol in the most important controversy that revolves around Shemitah, and that is the Heter Mechira. The Heter Mechira was introduced by Gedolei Torah in Europe in the 19th century. It was later executed very specifically by Rav Kook. And of course, that was a tremendous controversy that exists until his day. Before I go on, I want to point out that amongst my Rabbeim themselves, there's tremendous disagreement. For example, Rav Schechter told us that he thinks that if you have a question of relying on the heter of the heter mechira, which was instituted by Gedolei Torah of the previous generations, versus buying from Arabs, in such a case, Rav Schechter said that it's better to rely on heter mechira. Because we're in a shas cheirim, we're in a state of war. We don't feel it this way. We're standing and sitting in a beautiful classroom, but at the end of the day, we're still in a state of war. So in such a case, he said, certainly we should line heter mechira rather to buy from Arabs. Rav Nevinzal told me the opposite. Rav Nevinzal told me that one should not rely on the heter mechira. After all, at the end of the day, I presented to him Rav Schechter's argument, and he said to me, no. He said, the mitzvah of Shemitah is manomar. What a person's going to say, manochal b'shana ashminis. A person's going to say, what am I going to eat during the eighth year? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, v'tzivas b'rachasi, that you're going to have a bracha. So Menachem understood, the same thing applies, even b'shas cheirim, that in the time of war, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, keep this mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah of bitachon, you have to keep it. So who are we to decide, bein harim ma'elu, to take sides on this issue? What disturbs me very, very, very much on this Nakuda is that there are people out there today that claim that the Heter Mechira has no source in Halacha at all. In other words, they reject the poskim of the previous generation who advocated for the Heter Mechira. They entirely reject it. And they indicate that it's not a Shita at all. In fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Truvis, when he discusses that Sroge Shmita, so there Rav Moshe says that there's no Isser of Lifnei Iver of causing someone else to rely on the Heter Mechira if they would rely on the Heter Mechira anyhow. Why? Because Rav Moshe says it's a legitimate position in Halacha. It's considered a legitimate position in Halacha, and therefore Rav Moshe is of the opinion that once it is a legitimate position in Halacha, so then you're not over Lifnei Iver, even if you disagree with that Shita. Even if you disagree with that Shita, you're not over Lifnei Iver. Because that individual is following a Shita al-Pi Halacha. So clearly from Moshe's perspective as well, these were two legitimate strains of and approaches in Halacha. Again, that is not to say we're taking sides whether Heter Mechira should be done today or not, whether you should lie in the Heter Mechira or not. But clearly there are two legitimate positions in Halacha within the Heter Mechira. What is one of the strongest rayas for the Heter Mechira? It's a Gemara in Gittin on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Gittin, Mem Zayin, beautiful sugya, of Yesh Kini La'akum La'afkiyam Yidei Trumas HaMaisros. There the Gemara says that we have a machlokis if a goy owns peiros, whether there's a chiyuv of Trumas HaMaisros. And then the Gemara fears ice, as we say, it develops the sugya, and the Gemara at the end says, even the man da'amar who says, ain kinyin la'akum lafkim yidei trumas ha'maisros, even the man da'amar who says that you won't be chayim trumas ha'maisros, even the man da'amar says, ain kinyin la'akum lafkim yidei trumas ha'maisros, that means that if an akum has bilus over something in Eretz Yisrael, you're still chayim trumas ha'maisros, he would agree that in Syria, there is a chiyuv. So again, the man da'amar who says that normally, there was one word that was incorrect. Let's start again. The man da'amar who says ein kinyan la'akum la'chimi de trumas ha'maisros, which means that the halacha would be that you're chayiv in trumas ha'maisros in Eretz Yisrael. If it would be in Syria, so then it would be molded that you're potur. In Syria, the halacha would be that you're potter. So the man da'amar who says that normally Trumas HaMaisros is chayiv in Eretz Yisrael, even if it belongs to a guy, in Syria is modeh. Why? Because Syria is midrabanan. Since Syria is only midrabanan, the man da'amar is modeh. That's what the Gemara in Gittin Mem Zayin Amud Aleph says. Even the man da'amar says ein kinyan la'akum is modeh, then in Syria you're going to be potter. Okay, come along the Matirim, and the Matirim said like this. Shemitah, according to most Rishonim, they claim, is only Midrabanan. Why? Some opinions hold Kedusha Shmiya as Kitchel Shaita Velo Kitchel Asilava, that there isn't the same Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael that was once. We don't pass like that opinion, but then there's a more significant Shita that holds that Kedushas Shmita, all of their halachos, is dependent on Yovel. Since Yovel doesn't exist today, because we don't have a Sanhedrin HaGadol, so therefore Shemitah today is only Midrabanan. Most poskim, when they discuss Hilchos Shemitah, most poskim assume that Shemitah is only Midrabanan today. It says Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan and other poskim, so let's add one and one together, put the two together. If we say that the halacha is that number one, Shemitah is Midrabanan, and number two, Ein Kini La'akuma, Kini Deitru Mitzvah Maestros. So now we're home free. Just like we say that even in Surya, that you're going to be potur if a guy owns a land because it's only Midrabanan, and even the Mandar holds Ein Kini La'akuma is moded, and in Surya the halacha is that you're going to be what? That you're going to be potur. So then certainly today as well, where Shemitah is only Midrabanan, we should say that the Heter Mechira works. Now before we go on, let's just make sure that that argument is clear. Is everybody clear with the argument? It was a little unclear in the beginning when I described the Gemara and Gittin. So we're okay. So, comes along the Beis Halevi in the Tshuvas, Chela Gimel Simen Aleph, and the Beis Halevi says, the whole argument is flawed. The whole argument of the Matirim to say that the Heter Mechira of Eretz Yisrael today is parallel to what exists in Syria is missing the essence of the status of Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis Kedusha. And in my own terminology, as a way of connecting it to the previous Yisrael that we saw before, versus a Shem Eretz Yisrael. Says the Beis Halevi, Syria, did it ever get Kedushas HaAretz? Absolutely not. What's the story with Syria? David HaMelech conquered Syria, as the Gemara there says in Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. There was a kibush of David HaMelech, and that kibush, Yachid, created a chiyuv of Hanhaga to act in Syria as if it was Eretz Yisrael. In other words, they gave it certain properties of Eretz Yisrael. Mashalamah Adaradoma, I don't mean to equate the two, but it's similar to the idea of the Shem Eretz Yisrael that we discussed before. Not the exact same thing, but it has a certain status of Eretz Yisrael. Not any inherent Kedusha. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was already set beforehand by Yoshua and later on by Ezra. Syria, we could clearly say to President Assad, we have absolutely no interest in Syria. There's no inherent Kedusha in it. At there was a time that David had to go up to protect himself, or he wanted to expand the kingdom for whatever reason. So then he conquered it, but there's no inherent Kedusha in Syria. This is in regards to Syria. What about Eretz Yisrael itself when Shemitah is Derabbanan? Is there any lacking in the Kedusha as Aretz during Shemitah? The answer is absolutely not. There's nothing inherently flawed in Kedusha as Aretz or Shemitah. Even today. The Kedushas HaAretz is the same. It's a technicality. There's something lacking in the year of Shemitah, because Yovel is not proclaimed by Beis Din. But otherwise, it still has that same Madrega of Kedusha. It says, the Beis Halevi, therefore you're not going to be able to be Mafkia, the Kedushas HaAretz, through the Heter Mechira. The Heter Mechira only works in Syria, where there is no inherent Kedusha in the first place. Where there's some status of kibush yachid, some type of identity with the mainland, but in no way is there inherent kedusha. In contrast to Eretz Yisrael proper, even when Shemitah is the Rabbanan, the Heter Mechira is not going to work. So this is a strong dechia of the Beis Halevi, and it really brings out the idea that we often have to ask ourselves, just like by challah, we also often have to ask ourselves, what is the mechayiv of the mitzvah? Is the mechayiv of the mitzvah, when it comes to mitzvah satuyas for aretz, something that's associated with the general Shem Eretz Yisrael? So we have the Shem Eretz Yisrael of challah, that's one din. And then we have the Shem Truma Samaisus in Syria, which is a different din. It's related to also a connection to the mainland. And then we have the inherent idea of Kedusha Sa'aretz that applies to Truma Samaisus and Shemitah. Now, there's a way of taking this idea of Shemitah a little bit further. There are some very fundamental questions that are often discussed in regards to Shemitah that revolve around a similar type of question. It's clear that Shemitah is dependent on Kedushas Haaretz. Without Kedushas Haaretz, there isn't going to be a Chiyuv. But let's examine a little bit more deeply why and how Kedushas Haaretz is Mechayev Shemitah, and see some basic nafkaminas. The Rambam has a very interesting formulation in the beginning of Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel, which really starts, the issue in the Rambam really revolves around not his Lashon, but really the Lashon of the Pesukim themselves in Parshas Bahar. In Parshas Bahar, the Torah tells us that there is a mitzvah of Shemitah, and there, listen to the Lashon of the Pesukim. Uvashona Ashvi'is, Perakafei Pasuk Dalet, Uvashona Ashvi'is, Shabbos, Shabbosan Yev Oretz, Shabbos Hashem, Sod Cholo Sizra, V'chaim Cholo Sizma. Now if you read the Pasuk over there, in Pasuk Dalet, Chafei Dalet, there the Torah seems to describe the mitzvah of Shemitah as being a violation on the individual to work the land of Shemitah, on Shemitah. However, if you take a look at Pasuk Vav in Parshas Bahar, so there the Chiyuv is not mentioned in terms of the Lav, but rather the Pasuk says that the land is going to rest. There's a Chiyuv for you to make sure that your land rests. So Rabosai, the Pesukim themselves bring out the following question. And that is, what's the chiyuv of Shemitah? It sounds like a theoretical chakira. However, we're going to see that there are very, very practical nafkaminas in this chakira. What's the chiyuv of Shemitah? Is the chiyuv that the land has to rest? Or is the chiyuv that you're not allowed to work the field during Shemitah? So the psukim themselves seem to contradict each other. On the one hand, it says v'ha'isa Shabbos ha'aretz lachem la'achla, and it says that it's going to be shnas Shabbos on yeh la'aretz. And yet, at the same time, we also have the prohibition in regards to the individual sadcha lo sizra. So now we've gone in the following direction. Let's start from the top. We discussed that Eretz Yisrael has two different dinim, as Shein Eretz Yisrael and Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. We pointed out areas in which Shein Eretz Yisrael is relevant, like Challah. In a very different way, we have the Shein Eretz Yisrael in regards to the Chiyuv by Surya. Shemitah is clearly connected to Kedushas Haaretz, but what exactly is that Hagdara of Kedushas Haaretz? How exactly is Kedushas Haaretz manifest in Shemitah? Is it that the land demands Kedusha and therefore the land has to rest? Or the Gavra, who lives in Eretz Yisrael, is required to respond to Kedusha Saras and he has to rest? L'may nafkamina? What happens if you don't do the Malacha? Someone else does the Malacha. Is that a violation of Shemitah min HaTorah? Listen to the Pashtus of the Lashon HaRambam. The Rambam writes, Mitzvah Saseh Lishbos Me'avodas Ha'aretz Ve'avodas Ha'ilam B'shnas Hashvi'is. The opening line, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. There's a Mitzvah Saseh for you to rest during Shemitah. That you shouldn't do Avodas Ha'aretz. Shenema Rishav Sa'aretz Shabbos Hashem V'nema V'char Shuvah Katsir Tishvos. You're supposed to make sure that your land isn't worked. That you don't work the land, according to the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. This was the position of Rav Kook, according to Rav Bracha. Rav Kook felt, in Sefer Shabbos Haaretz, he writes that the Ikra Chiyuv on Shemitah is that you have to make sure that you rest. However, if someone else works your land, so then Rav Kook's taina is that for sure you're not going to be over on a lav, and you possibly might not be asad v'los izra v'chamachalos inzmar, and you possibly won't even be over the aseh. As the Rambam starts out, mitzvah aseh, lishpos me'avodas haaretz. V'minchas chinuch, mitzvah kuf yud beis, disagrees. The Minchas Chinuch says that it's prohibited to have even a goy work your land on Shemitah. Why? Because he says beferish that the chiyuv of Shemitah is not a chiyuv on you. The chiyuv is that you have to make sure that your land doesn't work. Ad kigei kach, the Minchas Chinuch says that really, when it comes to plowing, plowing should be considered a mitzvah saseh shezman grama, because the Torah formulates plowing bechor shevakatz or tishvos as a mitzvah saseh, and women should be exempt. So he says, but no. But the chiyuv is not a chovas haguf, but rather is the woman has to make sure that her land is rests. And therefore, he says, the Ritva in Kedushin points out that a mitzvah shebegufo, the halacha is, one is potter from mitzvah saseh shezman grama. Like a woman doesn't have to put on tefillin. However, anything that's not a mitzvah shebegufa, in such a case, a woman is going to be chayeves. So he says the mitzvah of Shemitah is not a chovas haguf, but rather is to make sure that the land is resting. Rav Kook responds to Minchas Chinuch, and he says, "Hu yoshe v'dorish kemoshe mepi agvura." He says he's darshing a psukim like he's Moshe Rabbeinu mepi agvura. Says, I don't see it anywhere. I remember, it's funny, when I was in the Kol Elyon, I remember Rav Rosenzweig and Rabbi Willick had the same machlokas. Rav Rosenzweig was emphasizing that the Rambam in the Pirkei HaMitzvahs says, Shetishbos Aretz B'Shvi'is Mimalachta. If you look where the Rambam outlines Mitzvah, he speaks about the land resting. And Rabbi Willick was saying like Rav Kook. He was saying, but the Rambam describes Mitzvahs that say, Lishbos Me'avodas Aretz. So this is a nafkamina, number one, whether having a goy. Number two, the nature could very well be that a woman, according to the approach of Rav Kook, a woman would not be the chalal, the isser, the mitzvah saseh, b'char shev katzi tishvos, because the mitzvah saseh shez man grama. Two more nafkaminas. The Chazon Ish says that if a person plants before Shemitah, now the halachas are very, very complex about planting before Shemitah, so don't try this at home. However, the Chazon Ish says that if technically, if someone plants before Shemitah and it takes root during Shemitah itself, so then in such a case, there's no Issa. Because even though your land worked during Shemitah, at the end of the day, you did the Maisa prior to Shemitah. And Rav Shlomo Zalman quotes the Tosfos Reed and Avodah Zarah that disagrees. Rav Shlomo Zalman in Madani Aretz says that the Chazon Ish here was makel too far, because at the end of the day there are rishonim that hold that the chiyuv is that the land has to rest, and if the klita, the hashrasha takes place, the rooting takes place during Shemitah itself, then you cause that your land not rest, to the point that Shlomo Zalman says that one would have to be oker the plant. Probably the most dramatic nafkamina today is the air conditioner on garden phenomenon. And that is, as you've noticed here in Eretz Yisrael, the air conditioners don't work like in the States. And that is that there seem to be pipes coming out from everywhere, letting out water onto something so that the water can escape and allow the air conditioner to work. Many people's air conditioners, pipes, have the water that exits falling onto a garden. Is that mutter or is that usr during Shemitah? Become a new chumrah that many have said, well, at the end of the day, even if it's a davar shein miskaven when you turn on the air conditioner, that's certainly not your attention. But it's a psik reisha. You're watering the garden. For that matter, what happens, even more Israeli, what happens when you do sponge it? What happens to the sponge in the end? The sponge goes out, often into the garden. Is that mutter or aser? So now there are many today who have said that it's prohibited. There are gedolei Torah of this generation who have asered it. I think according to the Chazon Ish, it's mutter. The Chazon Ish seems to say that when it comes to Shabbos, And Shemitah, there's a fundamentally different barometer that is judged when we look at the rules of Dover Shem Miskavim and Sikration. And that is, it's clear, it is true, that a little bit of water, on Shabbos we would never allow someone to turn something on and have water go into the garden. The Chazon Ish in Yud Tes Hey and Yud Tes Dalet, a few other places as well, the Chazon Ish points out, based on his complicated deductions in a few sugyas, the Chazon Ish says that the Isser of Shemitah is for the Gavra to be Mechavim Lasos Malacha L'Sadeh. That's the Isser of Shemitah. The Isser of Shemitah is for you to intend to do Malacha to your field. That's the way the Rambam seems to be starting out. So the Chazon Ish is L'Shitaso. As long as you, the Gavra, are not being Mechavim, and then the Chazon Ish goes so far as to say, that it could very well be that even the rules of Sikreishe don't apply. Why? Because as long as you're not having direct Kavana, so then in such a case it's going to be Mutter. When he is Daiti, there is a lot to be so Mechan to say that in a case of where, certainly in a straight up Einam Miskavim case, but even in cases that might be Karuv of Sikreishe or Mamish Sikreishe Mamish, if that is not at all the Kavanas HaGavra. Now, everyone's, when it comes to doing the sponge into the gardens, it could be there's a little bit of interest in having the garden watered. But when someone turns on the air conditioner, you have to change the whole air conditioning system so that it doesn't empty into the garden. And when it was put there, just because the AC man knows that that's the way you do it, you put it into the garden. Could very well be that there are some people who thought of conserving water that way. I thought Baruch, we should make it that we shouldn't need to conserve so much water. So then, in such a case, then according to the Chazon Ish, it would be mutter. Now let's take a step back and look at all the above from the perspective of Hashgacha. We see that there's clearly a component of mitzvos atluyos v'aretz that are connected to Hashem Eretz Yisrael. And then, yesh lachgar, in regards to Mitzvah Shemitah, what exactly is the manifestation of Kedushas HaAretz? Is that the Gavra has to rest? Or is it that the earth has to rest? Why is Shemitah connected to Kedushas HaAretz and not just simply Hashem Eretz Yisrael? Why is it different than Chava? The answer to that question, I think, comes back to the Yisod that we started developing last week. Everything goes back to Genesis 1 and 2. Adam and Perek Aleph and Adam and Perek Beis. What does the word Kedusha mean? The word Kedusha comes from the word that means withdraw, to pull back, to separate. I remember the first time I learned the meaning of the word, I was so shocked. You know, Kedusha meant the Amshin of a Rev, Zechrein of a Rev, was Hefer Kavan, it's not what Kedusha meant to me as a child. But that's not, that really has nothing to do with the word Kedusha. Kedusha means withdrawal, separation. Adam in Perek Aleph, as we spoke about last week, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Pruer Vu Milwes Aretz Vikiv Shuwa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, develop earth, conquer it. Adam is determined to be productive and to be a productive member of his spiritual society and his physical society. However, he has an Elohim relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't have a Neshama relationship with him. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Adin. He's a believing person, but he relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Pinas Elohim. Adam and Perek Beis is introduced, as Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, to Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's because he begins to sacrifice. He begins to have a true relationship with Chava, because he gives up his rib. And ultimately, that Mesiras Nefesh is what brings out the component of Neshama. And then something very, very interesting happens. There isn't Milu Ha'aretz V'Chivshuha. Man begins to surrender. Man begins to realize that everything that he's going to do is not necessarily going to be complete. And that ultimately, his creativity has severe limitations. And that's what Kedushas Ha'aretz of Shemitah represents. Number one, either according to those who understand the Chiyuv as being a Choles HaGavra, is that the Gavra realizes that he cannot fully execute every component of Kedushas Ha'aretz on his own, that he needs Siyata Deshmaya, or that that rotten apple is so holy that there's a part of him that is removed from its Kedusha. And that he has to take a step back. But either way, the function of Shemitah is, whether it's a Chovas HaGavra, it's a Chovas HaAretz, it's pulling back, it's Kedusha. It's a surrender, the realization that there's something bigger and above his own corporeal entity. A full surrender. That's what Shemitah is, a full surrender to Kedushas HaAretz. So it's not connected to the Shem Eretz Yisrael. It's not about realizing that it's not Kochi Vatzim Yadu Nisiliya Sachal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of this. No, it's a much deeper component. It's a component of Kedusha. It's not putting our capabilities in the right direction. That's what Hafrashas Chal is about. Shemitah is not about putting our kochos in the right direction. It's realizing that our kochos are ultimately nothing. That our kochos are severely limited. Now, I was always bothered. How could it be that on the one hand, in Perek Aleph, we're commanded, go, 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 develop the earth, milu aretz v'chivshua. Yet in Perek Beis, there's this entire component of surrender. And that's neshama, that's vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim. Which one? I always felt that there was a tremendous tension between Adam Aleph and Adam Beis. Which one is it supposed to be? And the answer only came to me years later. What's in between Adam and Perek Aleph? Adam's creation, Perek Aleph, and Adam and Perek Beis? Parsha of Shabbos. Parsha of Shabbos is in between the two. And that, what's the Parsha of Shabbos? What's Usher on Shabbos? What's Usher on Shabbos are not avodos, not labor. Laborious acts are not Usher. A person could take a couch and schlep it up and down stairs and still mutter on Shabbos. It's creative acts. Melachas Machshavos. Why after Melachas Machshavos? Leaving outside right now, what's the kesher to the mixture? That we'll have to wait through for a few parashiyos from now. But why dafka creative acts? And the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that you, I've given you, B'Tzelem Elokim, the power of creativity, but your power of creativity has severe limitations too. Severe, I don't mean in a harsh way, but severe in a practical way. For 6 days, go and develop my world. But at the end of the day, realize that as much as you're going to do and create, you're not the ultimate creator. What's the paradigmatic example of that? The greatest example of that is nuclear energy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us nuclear energy. He endowed us with the ability to create nuclear energy. And that koach does so much for humanity today. Whenever the electricity goes down, people die in hospitals because of it. But that energy, we still struggle with today, chasachalu, to wipe out humanity. Why? Because on the one hand, we have the ability to develop and create. On the other hand, our power of creativity is a double-edged sword. The only creator who creates only good is Kutcher Bihu. Our creativity is B'Tzelem Elokim, but we have inside of ourselves Mu'urav Beinenu is both the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa. And therefore it's impossible for anything that we create to be absolutely good. It's always going to be Mu'urav Im HaRa. So when it comes to Kedushas HaAretz, so then we surrender and we realize that there's a certain component of loftiness that is expressed in the other seven, not the cycle of seven in the days, but the cycle of seven in the years. And that cycle of the seven is either going to be expressed in the way we relate to Kedushas HaAretz, or the inherent Kedushas Haaretz. These are very esoteric ideas. But they're also very, very practical. And let's apply them, Be'ezer Hashem. We'll give two applications of how we understand that this notion of surrender is so important in our personal avodas Hashem. Every single one of us has this bechina of Adam Aleph inside of us. The desire and the drive to be a productive person in society and to accomplish, both in Ruchnius as well as in Gashmius. Modern day man has very much excelled in this idea. Look at how the world has been developed in the last 150, 200 years. But at the same time, modern man, the general secular man, or even the man who believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chinas Elokim, because of his desire to acquire wealth, because of his desire even to be a productive person in society, and because of mass media, which puts so much pressure on us to make so many decisions so quickly. You know, a farmer had 5 days to decide whether to put the tree in this direction or in that direction. And a stockbroker today has to make so many decisions so quickly. Is it any wonder that today we see so much more of anxiety and depression? The intensive demands of Adam Aleph have only gotten greater. And sometimes we have to surrender and realize that we can't macro control everything. And the stockbroker realizes it after time. Ultimately, as much as he's going to try to be in control, as much as he's going to want to have every piece of information at his fingertips at the first moment possible, at the end of the day, he still can't control. How does that apply to us? Sometimes there are certain instances where we have a certain job that we want to get, or we have a certain situation that we want, we feel we need to maximize, and we try to over-control. Let our Kadosh Baruch Hu play his card. Connect with that Vayipachapa Mishmas Chayim. Relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu not as a midas of Bechinas Elokim where we're trying to overcome nature, but rather we're trying to become one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Atznei Alechas Im Hashem Elokecha. Both of Bechinas Yukei Vavke and Elokecha. Not to try to overcome the forces of nature that sometimes seem so overpowering and evil, but rather to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Bechinas Neshama. Then there's another application. And that is, sometimes we push too much. We push too much, not a situation, not trying to over-control, that we spoke about before, but rather we push ourselves too much. And we push ourselves so much to accomplish in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, that to a point that we end up hurting ourselves. Sometimes we lose sight entirely of what the world around us is. The Inyana Diyoma, political joke, they say that there was once a politician that passed away, and they showed him his Din Torah. And at the end of the Din Torah, for some reason, I don't know why it works this way, maybe for politicians it's unique, and they said to him, "You know what? You could choose between Gehenna and Gan Eden." So he said, "Well, I have to see what both of them are." So Shem Gan Eden. Gan Eden, there are a bunch of serious people sitting and learning. It's nice. They have enough to eat, enough to drink. Sitting and learning, discussing lofty ideas. And he says, "Okay, so Shem Gehenna." So Shem Gehenna. And it's these beautiful vacation spots, climbing Mount Everest, NCAA Final Four. He says, "You sure this?" He says, "This is Gehenna?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Okay, I choose Gehenna." So they say, okay, they lead him to the door, and they throw him in, and there's a burning fire. And he says, "Wait!" He says, "This is not what you told me Gehenna was." He said, "Oh, that was the political commercial." But sometimes we ourselves, if we look back, we live our lives in that political commercial. We live our lives in that commercial. How? Be'ezras Hashem, none of us will suffer from this severe of a realization, but the subtleties of it we might, if we don't address it. The classic midlife crisis is one of the biggest human tragedies around. And what is a midlife crisis? In its successful form, you have a successful lawyer or doctor who keeps crazy hours, makes $400,000, $500,000 a year, sees his kids a few minutes on weekends. And if he's religious, it's even harder because he's got to go to shul and so on, and he's exhausted on Shabbos. And then the kids go to the best schools, best yeshivas even, best colleges. And then he retires. And then the kids aren't interested in spending very much time with him. And he did it all for them, he thought. He was just doing what society had told him to do. And the children don't feel much of a yachas between them and their parents. The classic midlife crisis. Now the children aren't interested. Rabosai, it sounds foreign to us. We also are guilty of it. And this vort is shayach in a kolal as much as it is shayach in a synagogue. And there are some times that we're so absorbed with accomplishing certain things in our lives, milu aretz v'chavshua, both in ruchnius and in gashmius, that we ultimately reject those things that are most important. And that is setting aside time to spend real valuable time with one's spouse and one's children, with nothing else that goes in, that's in the way. I'll give you a practical example of my life that I've gone through. There are a lot of things in Eretz Yisrael that I wish I could change. And there was a thought crossed my mind the first time saying this publicly. The thought crossed my mind that in Ramat Beit Shemesh, there are, first of all, Baruch Hashem, the communities are burgeoning there. There's so many little children, there's not enough shuls. As many shuls as there are, there's still not enough shuls. So I thought maybe we should speak to some Baal Bakim and start a new shul, maybe to create a certain environment that will be better. This shul, I thought, has too much English. This shul is too closed-minded. All of us, these things go through all of our minds. And then I sat down and I thought to myself, And when is there going to be a day? And it's not so much. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not like the same pulpit responsibilities as in the States. So Shabbos. I don't say Shir on Shabbos, I'll say Shir on Shabbos. And then I thought to myself, when's the one day that I relax with my wife and family? When's the one day that my children don't need to hear that someone's calling from America, or that Abba has to prepare a Shir, or that he's running out? But my netiya was, and it came from a very sincere place. My netiya was, here there's something that needs to be done. Milu aretz v'kivshua in ruchnius. But ultimately, in the end, it could very well be that I would regret that decision. And this doesn't only apply in milu aretz v'kivshua in that sense, but applies as well, and this is the hardest part, what I'm about to say might be a little bit controversial, it applies also in our Amelus B'Torah and our Avodas Hashem as well. And that is that sometimes we push ourselves in our Ruchnius and in the end we're hurting ourselves. My brother tells me that Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, who I think of the previous generation, the Talmud of the Brisker Rav, was probably the most Lamed Shemayim that was around. They say that Rabbi Ginnat was a very honest person. Maybe well. Rabbi Ginnat, when the Rav passed away, he called up Moshe Shmuel Shapiro and he said, "You're my Rebbe." The Moshe Shmuel Shapiro went to sleep at 12 o'clock at night and woke up at 7 in the morning. And he became a Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, the biggest lamed of the previous generation. His svarim are beautiful, beautiful, beautiful svarim. Not everything, you could disagree here and there, but still, beautiful, beautiful svarim. He slept 7 hours a night. I have a Rebbe who Talmidim say that you should learn from him not to sleep a lot. I think it's a mistake. A Talmud and an Avreich need 7 hours of sleep a night. My best Talmud, it's very interesting, just last night, one of my best talmidim in the shir, one of the boys told me, I need you to go, I want to learn with you this one. He said, 12 o'clock, I go to sleep. The boys don't know this, but he's the best boy in the shir in terms of his level of learning. Obviously, 25 different boys, each boy needs, has his own tafkid. But in terms of learning, he happens to be the best boy. He gets 7 hours of sleep. And sometimes we push ourselves to create and accomplish in ruchnius, which is ultimately going to hurt us and not going to help us. Something that's very, very important, and this has only began to sunk in with me in the last 2 or 3 years. It's very, very important to realize how Chachmei HaMesorah developed, how Talmidei Chacham developed. When we're 21, 22, 23 years old, so then it's a beautiful thing. We set goals for ourselves. We want to grow. It's fantastic. But ultimately, the goals that we set for ourselves is almost like, I want to become a Bhakti Bashas when I'm 30 years old. And if you think that it's not Shaifti, you don't think in those ways, you have to think again. Because if it's not about Shas, it might be about something else. Rav Zelig Epstein's son-in-law, means Rafua Shalema, Rav Moshe Meir Mordechovich, told me that Rav Zelig now B'liya in Hara is in his mid-90s. He should be well. Rav Zelig, when he went to Eretz Yisrael, and he came back, he told his son-in-law he had an interesting meeting. He said he went to see Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and he spoke and learned with Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Reb Chaim Kanievsky's B'liya in Hara, what? He's in his 70s now? So Reb Zelig is about 20 years his senior. So Reb Zelig said, he went in, and he told his son-in-law, he said, I was pretty impressed. He said, there are people in Eretz Yisrael, so Reb Zelig is still from the old generation in Europe, he said, the people in Eretz Yisrael still know how to learn. I don't know in America there's anybody left, but in Eretz Yisrael, he says that there are some people, there are people who know how to learn. So he said, who? He said, the stipler is Zin, I can't stop this learning. He said, I spoke with the stipler's son, and he knows a little bit how to learn. So Reb Mordechovitz told me, at the time, this was maybe 10 years ago, Reb Chaim was in his 60s, he said to him, to Reb Zelig, Reb Chaim is still a little kid. Reb Chaim Kanievsky is still a little kid. He's just hitting the big leagues. In the Olam HaTorah, you only hit the big leagues when you're in your 70s. Reb Chaim at that time is still in Triple A. So why do we have to put so much pressure on ourselves at this age? Now, part of it comes from the secular culture. Secular culture that says you have to have your career defined, you already have to be set, you have to be professionally moving. Yeah, and you know what? In the secular culture, if I'm a basketball star, I'm already over the hill. That's crazy, I'm a little baby. I'm a little kid, just starting out. So why have we taken those values, and not only in basketball, but even in law and in medicine and so on, the goal is to make enough to become a millionaire by 40, right? That's the way the expression goes. And then eventually, by 50, you're already winding down. Olam HaTorah works on a totally different speed. Totally different speed. In Mirza Hashem, if you learn every Masechta well, for that year, for the next few years, whatever your day is going to look like, whether you're eventually going to go out to work, or you're going to go into chinuch, or you're going to sit in kollel for a few years, whatever it might be, but if you do that Masechta well, God willing, when you get into AAA, you'll be in good shape. We're not going to be Reb Chaim Kanievsky, but we'll be in good shape. Tomorrow night we're going to say in Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, Tzadik HaTamar Yifrach. That a tzadik is like a tamar, is like a date tree. My brother told me from one of the mashgichim here in Yerushalayim, a beautiful idea. Why dafka a tamar? Why dafka a date tree? What's so special about a date tree? Why is it tzadik dafka like a date tree? A tamar, he explained, and someone told me this is true. The botany is correct. A tamar, the way it grows, the date tree, its roots grow very, very deep into the ground. You don't see fruits for many, many years. And then later, a torrent of fruits come out. It doesn't develop slowly. Torrent of fruits. That's the b'china of a tzaddik. The b'china of a tzaddik is someone who works hard for a long, long time and doesn't see any payoffs. For a long, long time. And then eventually the payros come. And the payros will come out as a torrent. And the truth is, for those of us who've begun to get a little bit of a familiarity of Shas, you see it. You see that when you're doing the Gemara Gittin and Zayin Amin Aleph, So then you're chazering that sugya in Zron as well, if you were able to do it once. I always tell the Talmidim, when you reach your 1,000th daf, your 1,001st daf, you're going to be doing chazar in the 122nd, the 337th, and the 480th, and so on. Because in every daf and shas, everything is interconnected. Kol Torah Kula Chativa Achas. But the beginning is very, very hard. When those roots start out, it's very, very hard. And it's not just the first step, of course, is the Shana Aleph reading. And the second step is getting used to the Rishonim. But that applies also when you're learning in Kolo for 3 or 4 years. I remember sitting in Rosh Hashanah's Kolo after Seder, in first hall, and asking myself, is this going to ever pay off? Another daf. It's hard to remember. But eventually, the dapim come together, the Yediyas HaTorah comes together, and also the avoda that one has in general with HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes together, as well as one's avodas ben Adam l'chaveras. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya to realize Sadik HaTam Yiflach, to realize that as long as we're working, the roots are growing very, very deep, and ultimately we will have siyata d'shmaya in attaining both Shem Eretz Yisrael and Kedusha Eretz Yisrael.
Just show yourself.